If by Rudyard Kipling. If you can keep your head when all about you losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools.
1776 will commence again.
If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but are none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son.
Emergency transmission from deep in the heart of Texas. The U.S. resistance against a global corporate combine empowered and funded by Communist China, allied with the big mega banks that set up Communist China in 1949. The Communist Chinese have taken control of U.S. telecommunications infrastructure. The Communist Chinese have taken control of Hollywood. The Communist Chinese have taken control of the main universities. This is all confirmed. This is not a drill. Big tech in Silicon Valley is almost completely run by the Communist Chinese government. They've officially become state-run. Apple, 100%. Google is now making the transition and announcing a merger and total worldwide censorship. They are now beta testing using me as the straw man, a demonized version of Alex Jones, to do that. This is happening. This is not like the other probes before that were meant to get you used to probes and censorship, thinking you would adapt to censorship by just putting up with it. Now this attack is thousands and thousands and thousands of times the magnitude of all previous attacks. This is a titrated dose, reverse psychological warfare operation using adapt and overcome, subversion, paradigm manipulation. In layman's terms, they are manipulating the fact that we adapt to being oppressed. We adapt to being pressed at the low dosages of oppression. Now when the megaton hits us of the total takeover, we try to adapt to the poison infusion instead of not knowing it's a lethal dose if we accept the dose. Total Internet of Things, integration, global social score, complete command and control system. It is the virtual reality AI weapon system now attacking the United States, with traitors inside the major security agencies blocking Trump's resistance of the program and attempting to stop us from removing the tentacles of the Chi-com/big tech banking combine emergency situation. I have been chosen for destruction because I brought you this information and have been battering, ramming it out as much as I can. They want to double use me, as they always do in any complex system of mathematical deception, where every angle of my good is turned against us. So they take what I've said, being sincere, build me into an insincere person in the straw man. I'm a person that cares about life and children and is against these wars. And so they make me a herder of children. And then they build me into this lie to then set the distraction while they're actually censoring all of you to make a debate about Alex Jones. So even if I didn't sell out to them, they now use me as an archetype to serve them by being the main distraction. I have now been captured by the enemy in the information warfare fulcrum and is being used against you. Only your full understanding of this key will break you free from this paradigm. I have given you the transmission. Now break free.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
We have two new products at theallergystore.com that are guaranteed to work and deliver healthy results. One is Ultimate Energy. It's very simple. High-quality fusion of organic caffeine that is time-released, then with a very strong dose of high-quality L-theanine that relaxes you and gives you clarity and focus. A lot of people take it for tests. They also take caffeine. You take the two together, it gives you smooth, continual release energy for up to 10 hours. A fabulous product, Ultimate Energy. And then, when it's nighttime and it's time to chill, Ultimate Chill, a big dose of L-theanine and a big dose of ashwagandha root that gives you rest, relaxation, and better, deeper sleep. That's also great for your immune system and your whole body. Good, clean energy and good, clean sleep. These two products together are amazing and are now available at TheAlexShowStore.com. While you're there, get the Ultramethylene Blue, get our incredible iodine, T3, bovine colostrum, and so much more at TheAlexShowStore.com, funding the Second American Revolution worldwide and taking the globalist on head on.
Unveiling the truth they don't want you to see. This is The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. And today I'm going to walk you through, again, some of the classic texts that admit everything that we're seeing roll out today. These classic texts will be then a demonstration, a proof that we're not conspiracy theorists, but in fact, we are conspiracy realists. We are espionage students. We are history buffs. We're not lunatics that just come up with stuff with no backing or basis. In fact, we're going to see as we walk through some of these key texts, some of which you've heard me talk about before and some you haven't, these key texts admit the technocratic, internationalist, globalist agenda that includes Zionism as well as part of an overall strategy to bring about a new world order. This new world order is not capitalist or socialist Marxist in the classical sense. It's a hybrid of all of these into a new type of system run by computers, supercomputers from centralized mega cities underneath giant continental unions. In order to get to that end goal, the establishment needs a specific type of currency that's one world and universal and controlled by a central hub. It needs a single world religion that thus props up the beast system, and it needs a centralized global state. So one world religion, one world currency, and one world government. Those are all the key plans that we can't forget that are the real overall plan of all of this. And we just saw this week, as I highlighted the other day, as I predicted for many, many years, I've been talking about the union between the Roman Catholic Church and Islam and other religions to create a supra mega perennialist religion for probably 20 years. And then beyond that, we've talked about Dune and the way that Dune, for example, a few days ago, we talked about Dune predicts this convergence into a future world religion that combines Islam with Catholicism. And they have their own Bible in the Dune story called the Orange Catholic Bible. So we talked about that a couple days ago, but that's fiction. And of course, a lot of times fiction encodes and predicts through predictive programming, you could say, a lot of what comes about in reality. And there's a lot of reasons how and why it does that. Sometimes the authors are insiders. Sometimes they know very powerful people. Sometimes, like Philip K. Dick, they're in the circles of people in Silicon Valley. So he can write into his dystopian sci-fi classics what the elite have planned. Sometimes it's people who are in the British establishment and they hear about what's going on and they write books like Wanting Seed, Anthony Burgess, who wrote the novel about enforced homosexuality in the future dystopia, very close to what Huxley put in Brave New World, which is the idea that there's enforced, basically you have to sleep with everybody. So it's illegal not to touch butts with anyone who requests it, and you're medicated if you disagree because something's wrong with you. Why would you not want to sleep with everyone? So this all becomes a mandated technocracy where you're controlled by your addictions and your passions. You're given Soma in Brave New World, which is a drug that makes you kind of lackadaisical, and you have this sort of drug trip experience. And in the religion of Brave New World, it's connected to a kind of orgy that mimics the Christian religious service, almost kind of like a new agey black mass where everybody's sort of just having sex.
but also taking a kind of quasi-hallucinogenic drug. That's the religious service that you see in Brave New World, and that's where all the rainbow churches would like to take everybody in the future, as well as this new alliance that's forged between the Vatican and Islam. Now, publicly, globally, in response supposedly to the evils of Donald Trump going to war in Iran. Now, I disagree with Donald Trump's war in Iran. However, that's a false choice. I don't have to choose the globalist, socialist, papacy uniting with Islam or the Zionist approach that Donald Trump has. What if I reject both of those? Because as an Orthodox Christian, I don't believe either of those approaches are correct. So there's other options that we can choose in the midst of false dialectics and false choices, false either ors. But when we want to talk about these books and how well laid out this is, there's so many of them that it's actually difficult to really pick the best or the worst or whatever, because so many of these writings of the elite over the last century, they actually have each one of them kind of has unique angles and pieces that it brings to the table, puzzle pieces that it fits in with their overall picture. But if we were to rewind a long time ago, you heard me mention this a couple days ago. There was a famous count named Count Kudenhove Kalergi, and he wrote a book called Practical Idealism. And you may have heard people say, this is the Kalergi plan, the Kalergi plan. And this book was written in 1925. And the point of this book was that there has to be a European Union that would eventually erase every tribe and ethnic and you could call it a European nation state group, right? So there won't be Scots people, there won't be Irish people, there won't be Britons, there won't be Italians, there won't be French. They will all be blended into a generic glob, a blob union, erasing all of their unique cultural distinctives under the banner of equality, egalitarianism, and freedom and unity. And he argues that this will be done through not just the EU, but that it will create the rise of a Jewish superclass. Now, that's his argument, not mine. So if you take issue with that, if you say, oh, that's an evil conspiracy theory, well, I mean, he says it clear as day within the first 30 or 40 pages. He talks about that. Now, you say, well, who cares what this guy says? Who is he? Well, this plan was presented to the elites of the British Empire, and they said, we like your plan. This is covered in Quigley's Anglo-American Establishment book, which is kind of a sequel to Tragedy and Hope. And in the Anglo-American Establishment, the elites of Britain said, this is the Rothschilds and the Fabians and the Milner elite. They said, we like your plan, Count, but we also like Lord Curtis's plan. So we're going to go with a blend of both of those. And Lord Curtis's plan was what he called the Commonwealth of God, which was a kind of rebranding of the British Empire to be a kind of a light Fabian socialist global order. That was the Commonwealth of God plan. And this is Count Kudenhove Kalergi's counter plan that also blends very well with that. So the next time somebody says, well, there's no evidence for that, it doesn't exist, you can point out the UN replacement migration documents that Alex has highlighted for 10, 15 years. You can point out the banker Larry Summers, who said that it's time to erase, Peter Sutherland. Peter Sutherland, the European banker, said that the banking elite have already determined that it's time to erase the unique European people groups with mass migration and other techniques to essentially breed them out. So that's why there's a massive influx of Muslims into Europe. And similar strategies are used, of course, in the United States as well. And that's including in the last several years, more and more Muslims as well. We know that, for example, Max Blumenthal's book, Management of Savagery, talks about the billions of dollars that the Saudis alone have put into funding Islamic education centers and mosques in the United States, combined with the massive importation of people from Islamic countries. There is definitely a strategy to dilute and change the existing demographics and population. And that's not a conspiracy theory, it's a form of warfare, right? There's books that are out of Cornell University, that are out of the Army War College, Kelly Greenhalgh's a book called Weapons of Mass Migration. It's an academic text. And so it's not a conspiracy theory to talk about the use of people groups as demographic warfare. If you remember a few years ago, even Erdogan made this clear when he says, if you don't do what we want, we will flood your country with infinity migrants. And so he even threatened this as an open form of warfare, showing that demographic warfare is well known to political leaders, well known to generals and army commanders, because it's an ancient technique, it's an ancient strategy, as well as other types of non-kinetic techniques, fifth generational warfare, things that include cultural war, things that include flooding the country or the target area with extreme forms of vice, extreme forms of pornography. We know that this happened to the people in Palestine. In Gaza, they were flooded with hardcore porn by the IDF and the Mossad some years ago, and that's all publicly on record as a form of psychological warfare. You also have, of course, economic warfare. So all of these techniques are used, and it's important to point out that none of these are new. They're just sort of refined, and they're scientifically updated to be a mad scientist's insane, crazy dream. Now, a book that a friend of mine sent to me some years ago, right when the COVID psyop was let loose, is a book called Millennium. And Millennium is a collection of all of these sort of Barbara Marx Hubbard, Timothy Leary, Carl Rogers, Jonas Salk, Marilyn Ferguson, Willis Harmon type New World Order figures associated typically with sort of the boomer counterculture revolution of the 1960s. But they had a huge impact on the changing of the landscape of American morals and thought. And these essays are all collected together in a book in 1981 that talks about essential and non-essential workers. Willis Harmon, who's a big Stanford Research SRI guy who's written all types of globalist elite documents, one of which he had a huge role in was the Robert Maxwell published book, Changing Images of Man, which we covered in studio with Alex when I got a hold of a hard copy. And that was, I think, a pretty definitive text, an elite textbook level text for grad students who would be going into the bureaucratic system. And that was used at a high level in high level universities for international relations students that were graduating in the 1980s. This book also came out in the early 1980s. And Willis Harmon says that in the future, we're going to understand that there's extra people, and the extra people are going to be a class lower. So you thought that you were getting a new world order of egalitarianism and radical equalitarianism where everyone's equal. But no, there will be a strata. It's just that strata will be determined by the technocrats who decide who the essential and non-essential workers are. And of course, the non-essential workers are the extra people. You may recall David Attenborough, the famous wildlife BBC Malthusian, who often talked about the extra people. What will we do with the extra people? Perhaps we shall have to get rid of them. He always said this in his documentaries. That's a term that the Malthusians use for all the people that they see as essentially the profane and the worthless. So Willis Harmon argues that in the post-industrial society of the future, when the technocracy comes in, you'll have a universal basic income that's a form of social credit that determines your social worth, and everything will be needs-based. There won't be this idea of merit and you pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and creating your own small business. It will all be essentially apportioned to you because you are part of a collective. And so austerity collectivism will come into vogue, and even perhaps tiny living. You notice that tiny living is being promoted everywhere by design. It's very fashionable, especially when there's a bad economy. So why not just work from home in the future? Yes, talks about working from home. 1981. And the idea would be that in this great technocratic future, the new ethic will be eco-based. So we'll base everything around what's good and bad for the environment, including how much population is allowed. And essentially, that'll be decided by computers, because we can't leave that to humans. They're subject to fallible emotions. So technocracy requires that in the future, the non-essential workers, their lifespans will be determined by how useful they are to the collective system and to Mother Earth. Social planning is the future. And all of society has moved and evolved from individual thinking in the West to collective thinking. So it's time to give up individuality for the good of the whole, the good of the collective. Now, remember, this didn't go away just because Trump got elected. The overall technocratic agenda, just because people aren't talking about it or because people think, oh, we've won, trust the plan. No. All of this continues to march on. Just look at all the technocrats who are pushing for all of the worst things at Bilderberg just last week. All the same technocratic agenda that everybody thought, oh, well, forget about it. You know, Trump's elected. Who cares? It's all good now. We won. We're taking over. None of that changed. In fact, it was all reiterated, and perhaps they got more done because people thought, oh, well, we've actually won, so there's no concern. We don't have to worry about it anymore. The other chapters in this book are relevant, but not super relevant for what we're going to be talking about today. But you do have figures like Timothy Leary talking about a kind of a new satanic era of the future that would be based around transhumanism. And he himself was an explicit Satanist. He said he was, quote, carrying on the work of Aleister Crowley. And so to give all the boomers LSD was actually a means of enlightening them and waking them up from being essentially corporate of 1950s creations. And now in the future, he says, transhumanism, genetic modification, cloning, and the return of Gaia will be the future world that we go into. If you go to places in California, like Topanga Canyon or wherever you find like kind of Instagram yoga chick new age communities, it's all boomers that run those that come out of the Tim Leary mindset. And it's funny to see the way that they think this is going to come about. Like everybody sort of, they think that you're going to set up this sort of like massively depopulated tribal return to primitivism setting, which is just so unrealistic given the nature of the global economy, how integrated it is with technology. This idea that you're going to have some sort of like indigenous tribal setting where, I don't know, really cool acid dropping boomers are going to be alive and leading everybody into this golden aeon. It's really preposterous, but it's very useful for social engineering and for convincing people that you can create this kind of a new world just out of thin air, right? Not a whole lot of difference between that and the absurd idealism of a classical Marxist that we'll just get all the workers to rise up and then everybody will be fair and everything will be equal and we'll just divide everything up and it'll be perfect equality. Again, to go back to some of the classics so you don't forget, David Rockefeller, who probably one of the most powerful men in the history of the United States, created essentially the Council on Foreign Relations, created the Trilateral Commission out of that, helped to create the Bilderberg Group, essentially donated the land for the United Nations, had a huge role in the creation of the OSS and the CIA. I mean, on and on and on. You can't get away from J.P. Morgan Chase and Chase Bank and Standard Oil and all of the tremendous industrial magnate, oligarch, baron power that the Rockefeller family has had. You really can't get away from that. But maybe they aren't conspiratorial. Maybe we're just making this up. Maybe it's all just for the good of the country and they're very nice people. Well, in the photos, which we always overlook the photos, you'll find him here gleefully meeting with Chinese communist leaders. And so he preceded Nixon. Here's, I think, Nixon down here with Kissinger when he went to China. But before that, David Rockefeller prepared the way for Nixon to do that by going and setting up Chase Bank as the first bank in communist China. And that's why, by the way, here he is praising Nelson Mandela, meeting with and praising Nelson Mandela. Here he is at NAFTA, the push for NAFTA. So you'll find the Rockefellers are pretty much at the heart of everything, including the erection of the first major bank in Red China. And they brag about this. And of course, David Rockefeller has a whole section in here, by the way, about his intelligence work, how he came out of being an intelligence operative and how that's really what prepared him for the future global oligarchical role that he gladly accepted. And we can't forget the classic chapter where he says that he is a proud internationalist and that people accuse him of wanting to set up a world government and being a globalist. And he says, I proudly accept that mantle. I'm absolutely ecstatic, in fact, about creating a global government. And the conspiracy theorists are correct. He actually says that. He says, yes, they are correct. I am trying to do that. Here is a whole section where he brags about creating, together with other members of the European elite, including members of the SS, Bilderberg. He says, yeah, of course, I helped create Bilderberg. I'm very proud of that. He says, it doesn't do as much as I'd hoped, but yeah, I had a huge role in creating that with Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands, and that's what our technocratic oligarchical elite is all about. He says, I worked with Etienne d'Avignon and a bunch of other oligarchs to help create the Bilderberg Group. And he says, our goal has always been and continues to be, this is pages 4, 16, and 17, the erection of a new world economic order. And I worked together with Zbigniew Brzezinski, and essentially he says, our puppet, Jimmy Carter, played a huge role in this. He says that there was a brief period where Ronald Reagan thought that he would challenge the Trilateral Commission and the CFR. And he says, Ronald Reagan, he, in very coded language, he says, Ronald Reagan figured out that maybe that wasn't the best idea to challenge the CFR and the Trilateral. Maybe he's saying that gunshot might have had something to do with that. But he says, if you want to understand how I learned all of this, this is why I constantly harp on the espionage and the spy angle to all this stuff, to all you guys, which I know I get people in the comments, oh, this is boring. Who cares? Boring. Well, you're just proudly touting your own ignorance because you may think it's boring, but this is the people who rule over you. This is the people who are force feeding you the garbage physically and culturally that you eat and take into your body and into your mind. David Rockefeller says the construction of this order, all of this, he says, is because I was an intelligence officer. I learned that my effectiveness depended upon my ability to develop networks with reliable information and influence. So he attributes his skill set to his intelligence work. Now, who did he recruit in 1990 to be another key member of the CFR to help him do what he was up to? Oh, Jeffrey Epstein. Remember in the Bannon interview, the most notorious organized crime international fixer, human trafficker, PDF blackmailer person of recent note of the last several decades was a legate, David Rockefeller, as Epstein himself bragged, not just being CFR, but also being at the Trilateral Commission. So what's the goal of these people? Well, it turns out the guy that they created the Trilateral Commission for, Zbigniew Brzezinski, wrote a book in 1970 called Between Two Ages, and he tells us everything about what the goal of the CFR and the Trilateral Commission and people like Jeffrey Epstein are ultimately up to. And it's not just sex ops and blackmail and honey traps and human trafficking. It's not just that. It's not even just money laundering. It's much bigger than that. It's a technocratic global agenda. This is Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis, and you're watching The Alex Jones Show, fourth hour. Don't go anywhere because we've got several more amazing insights and admissions from the elite.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62, that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this. How to put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your doc chamber's on. Medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, I've been on this since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theallergyshow.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theallergyshow.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theallergyshow.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue. And iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at theallergyshow.com, and I thank you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. My guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. I want to remind you that I am live in Nashville in person debating Chase Geyser and one of his friends at a public debate. You can get tickets to that still. It is posted on my Instagram, and we'll be debating the topic of Freemasonry. And the tickets are almost sold out, so if you want to get access to that, be sure and get your ticket right now. The question is a Christian able to be a Freemason? Is it something that's antithetical to Christianity? Or can they work together? Are they somehow harmonizable? So that's going to be a fun debate tomorrow night. And of course, if you want my books, yes, I will have a book table. And you can come get signed copies of Esoteric Hollywood 1, 2, and 3, and some of my other books as well. So we're talking about the admitted plans of the elite in their texts, some of which I've covered as classics, and some of which I've got over here that are pretty new that you may not have seen or heard of. But of course, Brzezinski, as we said, was one of these key figures who the Trilateral Commission was created for. And that's also something that your buddy Epstein was involved in there as David Rockefeller and Lord Rothschild's legate. Between Two Ages describes a future world. This is written in 1970, where Skynet will become a reality. He doesn't call it Skynet, but he says that computers will be interlinked with all the satellite networks, and they will be able to use genetic modification and future perhaps nanotechnologies to mutate man and turn man into something other than what he is. And that's within the first few pages. He immediately talks about this genetic modification of man and the future Skynet world order that we're going into. And you may have heard this because most people refer to this book when they want to talk about geoengineering and weather control, because he talked about it in a footnote back in 1970 that, of course, it's a reality. And there's Brzezinski right there saying the future will be future warfare, including geoengineering and weather war, something that even still people say doesn't exist. And if you talk about it, you are a crazy conspiracy theorist. He goes on to talk about the important role that religion will play in the future world order, and that things like Vatican II are preparing the way for the emergence of a new synthesis of all the world religions into something else, some new monstrosity. He doesn't call it a monstrosity, but I'm calling it a monstrosity. But what about all of this esoteric, hermetic, occult stuff that's everywhere in the last, well, you could say since the 1960s with the counterculture revolution of the boomers? Where did we get all this yoga everywhere, the yoga chicks and the importation of all of these Far Eastern ideas and Tibetan Buddhism? And you could say, well, Hollywood had a key role in it. Yeah. But who was one of the main people whose ideas influenced millions and millions of people, including many of the elite? Well, it's a woman named Helena Blavatsky. Her esoteric system that she created was very influential on the United Nations and the early promoters of the Lucis Trust, which is now what used to be called the Lucifer Trust Publishing Company, which publishes the books by Alice Bailey, Annie Besant, and of course, Madame Blavatsky herself, who was thought for many, many years, and I think she probably was, to be a British agent or perhaps a socialist. Well, she was a Fabian socialist, admittedly. In fact, I think Gandhi attended her funeral. Gandhi was a Fabian socialist, and I think you may have heard of Aleister Crowley. He was a huge fan of Madame Blavatsky as well. In fact, he told his devotees to read the works of Blavatsky. So she has a work called The Secret Doctrine, and in this she says that the future religion of the new aeon, of the new age that's coming, she's really the real central figure behind the new age and the syncretist idea of all the religions coming together in terms of theosophy, which is her occult system. She said that new religion is one that will shift away from the dogmatism of a kind of patriarchal religion of God the Father or anything like that. And it's, she says, and I can't believe I found this. I think I bought this book in Austin. So we found this at an Austin bookstore in, I think, their first edition. So they're really expensive. But I got Isis Unveiled 1 and 2 first edition copies. So this is Blavatsky's Priestesses of Isis. That's the religion of the future that will replace Christianity, because we need a more feminine-centric religion that will displace the logic and the reasoning and the warfare and the dominance that masculine energies possess. Instead, it will be a harmony, synthesis, peace, feminine religion embodied in the figure of Isis. And I can't prove this, but I think Dr. John Coleman in his conspiracy books has a pretty convincing thesis that they had planned many decades ago to create pop stars. And I'm talking about the Lady Gagas, the Beyoncés, the Madonnas, the Katy Perrys, the Billie Eilishes, all of these figures that would become essentially embodiments of Isis, because they want to instantiate and incarnate a new religion based around the feminine principle that replaces what they call phallogocentrism, or the phallic logos reasoning centric religion of Christianity, of the Bible, etc. And to do that, you need an ideology of religion that is something new, but also is seen and perceived as peaceful and harmonious and in tune with nature and all this fake and gay nonsense, which is a cloak for a fake religion created by the elite to dupe everybody into some sort of delusion, a mass delusion, that the real God is nature itself, or Isis, right? Because nature, you could say, is kind of a passive. I mean, there's a generative principle, you could say, of masculine and feminine in nature. And of course, that will be a big part of the debate tomorrow night when I debate the two Freemasons on whether it's a consistent Christian society or whether it's absolutely antithetical to Christianity. The religion of the worship of nature is essentially what we're talking about. And that's what Blavatsky talks about. She says that Isis unveiled is the revealing of what was prior to now hidden, meaning we had to keep our secret society teachings in the background until the time was right when we've gained enough power through, she says, education. In fact, she says that kindergarten, she wrote an article like 100 plus years ago for the Scottish Rite magazine, or she was at least quoted in the Scottish Rite magazine 100 plus years ago, saying that elementary school and education would be the key means by which the new age, the religion of the new age, would be inculcated and indoctrinated and brought about by the time that we're living in now. So essentially, she was predicting a near future revelation of the religion and worship of Isis, the goddess, under the guise of anything like New Age, or it doesn't have, we don't have to all explicitly be walking into a temple that's called the Temple of Isis when we already have essentially churches that are flying the rainbow flags. That's the equivalent of Isis unveiled, right? Because we're going to a kind of pagan worship, a kind of temple prostitution religion, like my wife Jamie has talked about in a lot of her videos. In fact, the last time she was on here on the fourth hour, we covered Babylon mystery religion and the harlot. And we went to the ancient temple prostitution cults of the ancient world and saw that that's exactly what this is and what they want to bring back. So Blavatsky's Fabian socialism is also intimately tied to her new age revolution of promoting yoga, Eastern meditation techniques, trance, you say anything like that, transcendental meditation, it all kind of has the same, it flows from the same sort of branch or grows out of the same branch of her version of the secret doctrine, which is this weird mix of everything from Eastern tantric practices to yoga to Neoplatonism to ritual magic. All of those things play a role in her concocted, made-up religion. And it is absolutely 100% made up. She was not supposedly discovering, you know, some sort of hidden arcane thing. She just sort of crafted together a system. And one of the reasons Crowley liked her, I think, was because she was successful at doing that. And his cult, for example, when you graduate the higher levels, you then go on to create your religion. So it's actually a school for learning how to create a cult. And that's exactly what Blavatsky did. Now, if you doubt that that's the case, consider another member of the Fabian Socialists, this group that she was a part of that was really run by Lord Rothschild and Lord Milner and other people in these elite circles over 100 years ago of the British Empire. Note that we're still living through the ideas that they put forward. Was the famous figure H.G. Wells. And we've covered H.G. Wells many, many, many times. But I think I've only mentioned this book once on the fourth hour, and I'm sure everyone's forgotten it. And I would venture to say that probably no one, maybe a handful of people in the audience, have actually read it, because H.G. Wells wrote a lesser known book. I can't believe we got a hold of this old copy, too. This is probably a 100 years old copy. 1917, actually. I have a 1917 copy of God, the Invisible King by H.G. Wells. And H.G. Wells is talking about, as a high-level Freemason, high-level socialist, high-level Fabian socialist explicitly, what the religion of the future would be. Now, you might think, well, H.G. Wells, if he was like a Marxist socialist, he was an atheist, right? So he would say that the future religion is just science and, you know, something like that. Or should I say science? But he doesn't say that. In fact, he says, no, there will be a religion of the future. It's just not going to be the religion of Western gods or Christianity or anything like that. He says, we will have a figure that we look to as our archetype or as our sort of deity. He doesn't say he actually thinks it's a real deity or not. He just kind of leaves that ambiguous. He says, it's going to be Lucifer. Yes, Lucifer. The god of H.G. Wells is the Promethean figure that the future will worship, the god Lucifer. And that will be the age or the aeon that the Fabian socialist technocrats bring in, which will be an age of total one world government, one world religion, one world currency. And it includes massive depopulation for the good of the earth. And so if you're going to argue for the good of the earth, then you need some kind of earth-based religion or some sort of pantheistic type of religion. And that's exactly what her religion is all about. And that's, I think, why you see the pop stars, whether they know it or not, they don't have to know about Blavatsky and all this stuff. They have agents and handlers that essentially tell them what they're up to and what they're supposed to do because they're corporate products that are owned. But they're corporate products that are pushing an overall agenda, an occult agenda that goes beyond just making money or MKUltra or blackmail. None of that stuff is the end goal. The end goal is the erection of what H.G. Wells called the Luciferian era. And again, all of these books, they all say the same thing. Now, they're not all talking about the same topic, right? So if we read, Soldiers of Reason by Alex Avea, and Alex Jones did a lengthy interview some years back with Alex Avea. And I remember when he put that big, long interview out, I went and bought this book and read the whole book, which is The History of the Rand Corporation. And Alex Avea wrote this as one of the few people who was allowed inside Rand Corporation to read and do an official book from the basis of their own texts and documents. So it's not a conspiracy book. You have to understand that. And essentially what he admits is that the Rand Corporation is one of the premier think tanks that really designed the 20th century and the 21st century that we're going into. So everything from Obamacare to American education system being dumbing down on people to the Iraq War to the tax system to, you think of it, mutually assured destruction, the Cold War. That was all thought out by the brainiacs and essentially the neocons, you could say, at the Rand Corporation. People like Alfred Wolfstetter and Herman Kahn, also figures like Edward Teller, who were very instrumental in the creation of geoengineering. They were all working together on these projects that would eventually lead to the idea of how we would construct this specific world order. We've covered Kessler before many times, but we can't forget the importance of The Ghost in the Machine by Kessler, who was given the Order of the British Empire. He was supposedly a Hungarian Marxist who became somehow Order of the British Empire. A lot of Marxists ended up Order of the British Empire. And I think he committed suicide together with his wife, right? So this is a very bizarre figure. But he was very liked by the Royal Society establishment elite. Again, these are the same people that are BFF with Jimmy Savile and Jeffrey Epstein. So this is telling you the type of people we're talking about. Not surprising that they would unalive themselves. But people forget that Kessler was very influential amongst these elites and said at the end of his book that we need to drug the food and the water, and we need to dumb people down, and we need to kill most people, because that's the only thing that's good for Earth and for the progression of evolution. See, people treat evolution as a religion. That's their religion. And he says that all the techniques that the CIA applied in terms of mind control will have to be used on a mass scale. So all of that MKUltra stuff is really about massive social engineering. And he says explicitly, there's the entire last chapter. You don't even have to read this whole book. Just go read the last chapter. And it's everything that you hear all of us talking about. Now, he wrote this book in 1967, right? And this was a Royal Society produced text. So this tells you what the Royal Society's attitude and inner core beliefs are. Again, people find this hard to believe, but nobody goes and reads the actual text. That's what we do on my channel. And we've lectured through probably 70 of these over the last decade. No one else does this. No one else has the receipts like I do. And again, I'm not trying to say that I give proper credence to Alex, because Alex is the one that mentioned these books over the years. He was aware of this way before I was. But I went and got all the books and more and went way deep into all of them, reading all of them, annotating all of them, doing lectures on all of them for the last 10 years. And yet my YouTube channel is still only at 200,000 subscribers. I would ask you, please, if you want this type of information, this type of data, if you want to get really deep into. We have a lot of fun on my channel too. Go subscribe to my channel, Jay Dyer, on YouTube. I'm also on X and on Rumble as well. So be sure and click on all of those, Instagram, TikTok, you name it. Follow me, especially at X, because I've been restreaming, multi-streaming now to X and all the different websites. But let's not forget the Jonas Salk. Remember Jonas Salk? Jonas Salk was the developer of today's so-called inoculation science that we have. And you might think, oh, well, if he, you know, oh, he cured polio and he did all these great things, right? Well, in 1972, and he's got another book he wrote too that I have that says the same stuff. He wrote a book called Survival of the Wisest. Now, what do you think he means by the wisest? He means the scientific priest class and the people with all the money. That's the wisest people. In other words, the wisest people are the people who have the radical depopulation worldview. In fact, he even says that for the good of the survival of the human race, meaning the elite, they're going to have to even experiment in mass on pregnant women. And he says, we can do that through stabbies. It's amazing to me that you can have books like this written, and they've been out in the public domain for decades, admitting that they want to and will experiment on children, experiment on the public, creating mutations. All of this should be like Nuremberg level, like illegality, right? Isn't this all just crimes against humanity? And yet the people who advocate for crimes against humanity are the ones that are given the awards for greatest humans or whatever these fake and gay awards are. That's all psyops anyway, to give all these disgusting people these awards. But we also have books like Game of Nations, written by Miles Copeland, relative of Stuart Copeland, right? You probably heard of the Police. People like Stuart Copeland. Well, Miles Copeland was a high-level CIA operative, and he was stationed primarily in the Middle East. He spent time in Egypt. He spent time in Syria. And this book is fascinating because it really shows how the CIA does what it does and why it does what it does. Under the guise of consulting, they're really there to transition nation states into the long-term positions that the CIA, working at the behest of the CFR and the Trilateral Commission, wants to see those nations transition into. So, for example, there's entire chapters in the book, which we lectured this book 10 years ago on my channel. There's chapters where he says, of course we use terrorists. Of course we arm radical Muslims. Yeah, duh. Who doesn't know that? Of course we use false flag events. It's a classic technique. Just out of hand, just says it. Yeah, absolutely. That's our strategy. But I think the most enlightening part of the book is his reading list at the back, which we've talked about many times, because a lot of people, again, they don't go into the text and look at the recommended reading, and they don't want to see the big picture. We're always focused on the here and the now. But Miles Copeland, back in, I think he wrote this book in the late 1960s, he says, you know, if you want to understand what the CIA's long-term goals are, he says, read the CFR's reports, read the Rand Corporation's reports, and he says, read the writings of Bertrand Russell. Oh, that's all the stuff that I've been lecturing through, isn't it? So who else is out here saying this? Nobody. I mean, except for Alex and a handful of people, right? Who else is telling you, well, how about read some CIA books? So the CIA said in the 1960s, we're depopulating all these places, and that's why we are doing these regime change operations. Not in the immediate, but the long-term goal, he says, for Egypt is to do whatever we need to do in Egypt for 50, 100 years down the road, getting the population down. That's what he says. He says, ultimately, the Rand Corporation has written many white papers on how eventually to create a technocracy in all of these countries. So in other words, you got to regime change to get the country to where it's sufficiently industrialized to where you can then have the technocracy that gets the population down. It's amazing how candid they are in all these books. You would be surprised. And that's why we do that on my channel, is that we lecture through these, as well as many other things. We do debates. We do comedic stuff. More recently, though, we're covering another Council on Foreign Relations member's book, Burton Hirsch. He wrote a book called The Old Boys, which is the history of the OSS and the CIA and the American oligarchical elite that run those organizations. So here's a person from the establishment writing a book about the history of the establishment, telling you how they do it. And yet we still have people who say that it's all a conspiracy theory. It's not real. It doesn't exist. But I suspect that the reason, for example, that I can't get any Roman Catholic academics to come debate me on the history of the papacy in the last couple centuries from a geopolitical perspective is because none of them actually read these books. You have people like Trent Horn who goes on YouTube making videos downplaying the role of Epstein and ignoring the different connections that he has to the Vatican beyond just one email, and ignoring other high-profile super predators and occultists like Jimmy Savile, who were given the papal knighthood award by John Paul II, a supposed saint. All of that's downplayed and ignored, and Roman Catholics will not debate in a public level the geopolitical entanglements, which I think absolutely explain the actions of the papacy in the last century far better than the supposed infallible charism of Peter. Again, Trent Horn won't debate me or anyone else on the powerfully necessary topic of Vatican II's statements about Islam and pagan religions and how they all work together in the plan of salvation. They won't debate any of that because they know that it's the death knell of their position. But they will go talk to Ben Shapiro or people from the Daily Wire about ridiculous topics. But note that none of these people will actually come and debate at a formal level these kill shots. Wonder why that is. Well, we know why that is. But beyond that, I think it's important to say that the goal was also explained by one of the top technocrats that you've all heard of. Of course, Alex has been talking about Ray. I first heard about Ray Kurzweil from Alex probably 20 years ago, maybe more, and from Jason Burmes probably 15, 20 years ago. And, you know, he wrote this famous book called The Singularity is Near. And this is important because we're at this stage right now where the technocracy is literally rolling out. They don't necessarily have all the infrastructure everywhere in the world to have the technocracy. But I think the key places in the world where there might be significant opposition is precisely where they are beginning to roll it out. So particularly in the West, and particularly through means that would eventually, I think, lock down free speech. We just saw last week Bilderberg talking about AI, talking about Palantir-type technology, people from Palantir there at Bilderberg, with the idea of eventually creating, and Kurzweil wrote these books, you know, 20, 25, 30 years ago, rolling out the technocracy and what was coming by design. So that's the real goal. That's the real plan. And if you want to read about that, you can go to jaysanalysis.com and you can get my new book, Esoteric Hollywood 3, where I discuss all of this in detail. Sign copies in the shop. Be sure and follow Alex and support Alex in the store, the InfoWars, at the Alex Jones store.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up, go to the UN's own website, they admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, sort of put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record, good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexjonesstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.